Welcome back to Up to the Minors. I'm your host, Connor Ramsey, and with me, as always, he's the Curtis Douglas to my Pavel Gogolev. It is TJ Rust, everybody.
Well, I know I didn't play for the Red Wings.
That was done so professionally. You would not think that it was the second time in 5 minutes that I had just done that.
Not going to make the same mistake twice.
Now, those guys that I mentioned were, as you now already know, named because they were the only two guys who I recognized who had been cut from the Leafs to Marley's training camp.
Yes.
Which is now about to start. And I'm not going to read the entire list of names again because...
So Marley's do their own... I guess they start their training camp later because they're going to take the guys that the Leafs don't want.
Yeah. So they're starting their training camp, I believe, this week. And it's going to include those guys and then everyone else who's in contention for the Marlies who didn't get invited to Leafs camp. And then also, I guess, everybody who filters in as they get cut from the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, I'm very excited for you and me to go to a game and see Curtis Douglas.
I actually am excited to see Curtis Douglas. He'll be the tallest hockey player I've ever seen in person, I think.
Really?
Well, he's 6'9".
Trying to think of who else I've seen.
Unless you've seen Zdeno Chara, he's the tallest.
Which I don't think I have.
I haven't.
Well, then there you go.
Did you ever see the Bruins in person?
I don't think so.
I actually did see the Bruins in person, but it was 2002. So.
Oh, it was 2002. Well, that doesn't
Chara.
Count.
No Chara. Joe Thornton, but no Chara.
Yeah. That's a good point.
All right. So, yeah, basically, as I said on the previous non-recorded section of this podcast.
Sorry, you know who I saw, which doesn't count? Jamie Oleksiak.
Oh, that's, you know what? He's pretty tall.
Because I remember.
Think he's not as tall as Curtis Douglas, but he's very tall.
And Tyler Myers.
Also very tall.
I saw a Canucks Calgary game in Calgary with my dad, and I was like, he's like, who is that? Because you. It's
they
funny.
Are very tall. Those are very tall people.
It's funny because you're watching the game and, you know, we're not rich, so I never sit low. Yeah. But even when you're sitting pretty high, you're like, that is a significant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can tell for sure. Curtis Douglas, even like he looks insane when you watch him on TV, even. Yeah. And like, why is that guy like 1.5 people?
And again, I'm sorry. I keep doing this. I think I did see Chara.
Did you see Chara?
I think he was on Washington.
Oh, wow. Was he playing though?
Yes, he was because I remember sitting next to Cam and being like, see that guy? He's the tallest guy in the NHL.
Wow. So you did see Chara. So yes. He will not be the tallest hockey player you've ever seen.
God, because I think he was, and obviously I'm going off on a tangent here, but that was 2019. Am I off? 2019, he was on the Washington Capitals?
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
That sounds right.
Okay. So I think yes, because then that's one of the last games I went to.
And then last year, the Islanders. So yeah, that sounds right to me.
Yeah, sure. Okay. We'll go with it.
Whatever. Does not matter. But that is pretty cool. I didn't know you had seen Zdeno Chara play. So that's exciting. What I was going to say is the only guys left are guys who might actually make the team.
Right.
That's it. There are some guys obviously who you're like, okay, well that guy's not really gonna possibly make the team unless he plays like the best hockey of his entire life in the next three exhibition games. But you know, they're guys who have at least a small chance.
Now you have watched a decent amount of it. I have
not all of it, but yeah, I've seen some of it.
But I've been cleaning up doo-doo and you know, going to Nuit Blanche baked.
Yep.
Is there anyone that like has stood out?
Nick Robertson has looked really good. Dennis Mulligan has looked really good.
I have heard that.
Yeah. Those are the obvious ones because they're scoring all the goals and whatnot. Defense wise, guys who like won't make the team, but I thought looked decent. I thought Philip Kroll looked pretty okay.
Okay.
And Eric Shellgren, who we know is a goalie who doesn't totally suck, didn't suck.
Yeah.
There you go.
And we'll get to it, but like preseason wise, Murray and Samsonov have looked pretty good.
They have looked good. they have looked very good. So let's just go right into the goalies, because that was actually the first thing I want to talk about. Right. So aside from Samsonov getting hit in the head with the puck and appearing to be injured briefly, they've been amazing, both of them. It's been, like, absolutely perfect. And Matt Murray, I believe, let me just have a look here, I believe is playing tonight and has not allowed a goal after the first period.
Is he playing tonight? Yes, he is.
He is, and has 5 saves and no goals against the Montreal Canadiens. So
we'll take it.
Another good start for Matt Murray, it appears.
Yeah,
after Samsonov came in and in his first game made, I think it was 16 saves and no goals against after 2 periods, I was like, wow, you know, maybe he's going to come for the job. And then do you know what Matt Murray did in his next game? He played 2 periods. He saved 16 saves and allowed 0 goals.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, I suppose fair enough then. So they're going to be our goalies, and hopefully, maybe, possibly, it'll be better than we all fear.
Well, and the fact that Sjogren is not playing horribly,
that's also good.
Kind of gives me, like, I mean, look, the big thing with hockey is there's going to be injuries.
Yes.
We all know that.
Absolutely.
Whether it's going to be goalie, defense, forward, whatever it is, you're going to get some injuries.
Probably all of them.
And especially with guys like Murray.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tavares is out for the first, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, and Muzzin and Lily, like, obviously there's going to be injuries. So it's kind of nice to see Sjogren being able to slot in if something bad happens. And he did it last season.
He did.
Right? Like,
and Joseph Woll played some games last season too before he got injured. And both of those guys are going to be the Marlies goalies, which actually seems like pretty good goalies for the Marlies.
It's kind of great.
Yeah, it is.
Because nice. They'll be good. They'll get their reps in. And it's not like years past where, like, Hutchinson is in there and you're like, what are we doing? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, it seems like we have more, like, guys who can play games if we need them to, which is good.
Yeah.
I think that was probably part of the game plan, actually, for them. After how the last few years have gone, I think they were kind of thinking, let's just get a lot of goalies in here. Mm-hmm. Just in case.
Yep.
Now, did you see the weird goggle thing that they were doing?
No.
The Leafs have a new goalie coach.
Oh, yes.
Curtis Sanford.
It's
Yeah, it cuts off your peripheral vision.
Yes.
So Matt Murray said it's so you can't see out of the sides of your eyes, which are weak. You have to look through the front part of your eye, the middle part of your eye. Sorry, this is very hard to describe. The middle part of your eye, which is the most powerful and effective part of your vision. So it helps making sure that you are moving your head and neck to track the puck rather than moving your eyes to track the puck, where you won't end up seeing it as well.
And I'm not trying to, look, I'm not a goalie. I'm not an expert. But I find that I need the peripherals a little bit because it helps you orient yourself in the sense where you don't have to whip your head around.
Yeah.
Looking to see if there's a guy in your corner, like right next to you. It's kind of the fact that you have the peripherals helps you assess with, especially like jersey colors.
Yeah.
You go like, and I did it in soccer a lot this past season where you're like, okay, I can see in the corners of my eye that there is a white jersey and a red jersey. I know they have a guy right there.
Yeah.
I don't have to look. I can tell. I just can focus on the ball a little more.
Yeah. I think the idea is that they just do this in practice for puck tracking. I think the thought process is that, like, if you're always tracking the puck with the powerful part of your eyes, when you get your peripherals back, then you can add in all that other stuff about looking for. I think it's just to build that one skill of, like, finding the puck with your eyes. And then after that, you, like, get all the other stuff
back
that you normally would.
That's fair.
I totally get what you're saying. I sincerely hope he doesn't wear them during the game. But
right, no. But I hope it doesn't take away from him using that aspect or like
yeah.
Kind of need to train that too.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I know this is again total aside, but like when I was in police foundations, what they made us do was they took license plates and they ran them in our peripherals.
Oh, that's cool. We had see how much you could read.
See how much you could read.
That's really cool.
Because there's going to be times where you're not looking right at the license plate.
Yeah.
And in the event of an emergency or something crazy happens and you have a little bit of sight on the license plate, you have to be able to read it.
That is very cool.
So
interesting. I wonder if maybe they have some other plan for training his peripheral vision after they worked on this part of it, right?
That's what I mean. Is I assume they're smarter than me. I'm just saying from what I hear.
No, I think it's interesting.
Yes. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting idea. Other than that, I mean, there's not too much to talk about for the Leafs, I guess, because we kind of know in terms of goalies, like we know which two guys are making the team and would make the team unless they showed up and were terrible and they've both been good. And we know which two guys are going to be the Marlies goalies. So,
well, and just back to Samsonov and Murray, like it's kind of a good feeling.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because I know we were all worried and this, I'm not saying this puts our minds at ease, but it does. It does not. I know it doesn't. But it doesn't put us in panic mode.
Yes.
Because if they step into those first two preseason games and allow five in two periods, both we're fine. Like
everybody's freaking out.
Everybody's freaking out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're 100% right. It's been huge. It really has.
Yes. For the general well-being of the fan base.
Yeah.
Because I talk about it with people around. We talk to our friends, and you're just like, not bad, man.
Also, panic. Like we don't have anything proven with these guys, so like you would panic, right? It's kind of like how Freddie sucked in October every year, but every year we were like, yeah, whatever. He always sucks in October, and then he's good the whole rest of the year. Yes. So we're not worried because we know that he does this every year.
Yes.
With Matt Murray and Ilya Samsonov, we don't know that. So even if something like that was true, we would still freak the fuck out the whole time that they were bad.
Yes.
Okay. Well, should we do?
But I won't.
Should we do the defenseman?
Sure.
Because it's fascinating.
Give me the fascinating.
To start with, Rasmus Sandin signed Timothy Liljegren's contract.
Which
2 years, 1.4. It is the exact same contract.
Which is what the Leafs wanted.
Yep.
I think the fan base wanted.
Yeah.
It's probably not what Sandin wanted.
I think he might consider firing his agent, to be honest. He missed like half of training camp to get the exact same contract he could have got in like July.
Right, but I think that was him.
I don't think that was him.
You don't think that was him?
I think that was I think his agent told him to sit out and I'll get you a better deal. And then that didn't end up happening.
But do you think he was the one that was like just because that's what I hear. He was the one that was like, no, just sign it.
Yeah, I mean, apparently that's what happened.
Right.
Apparently he told him, like, no, let's just get this done.
Right. So do you think that maybe if he had have held out longer, pulled a Nylander, pulled whatever, and waited to the very end, that the Leafs might have traded, like, a Kerfoot to make room?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know. And thankfully, we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so we know who's going to be starting the season now because Timothy Liljegren is injured. He's out for the rest of this month. He had hernia surgery.
A whole month, eh?
Yeah, he had hernia surgery, which that sounds awful. I'm really happy that speaking as someone who's currently recovering from surgery, that sounds terrible. That sounds like actually so bad. I do not want to ever get a hernia, to be perfectly honest.
No, I wasn't.
I
had a coworker who years ago who had a hernia surgery and then it got infected.
Oh, gross.
And then his recovery time was like 2 months. It was supposed to be like 3 weeks.
Well, let's hope Timothy Liljegren is showering consistently.
This guy was fucking disgusting. So yeah. Obviously he got an infection.
So our defense to start the season is Riley, Brody, Muzzin, Giordano, Sandin, and Hull. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the six guys. We're done. That was easy.
Yep.
Sometimes injuries just work. Everything just works out, right?
Yeah.
So the injuries basically mean no one needs to get traded. No one has to get traded. Sandin signing this contract basically puts us in a good situation where we're going to have seven pretty good defensemen for the entire year. And that's nice. It's really good. That's the best way that this could have worked out, right?
Yeah.
We lost two depth guys in one game. Jordy Benn is out long-term with a groin injury. And Carl Dahlstrom is out till April with a shoulder injury.
April? So I'm assuming
he had a operation similar to the one that I just had.
He's out till April.
So for 6 months with a shoulder injury. So there you go. Carl Dahlstrom season ended almost immediately.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, but... Yeah,
and I mean that, and I've heard this a little bit too. Preseason's too long.
Could be, but also he did get injured in like the second game, so
that's fair.
I mean that was just how she was going to go for him. It's a shame though because he probably played a couple games last year. He probably would have played some games this year, and he would have played the whole Marley season for sure. And now he gets to play what, like playoffs with the Marlies? I guess it's tough.
Yeah, if they make it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a shame. That led to the very hilarious situation of Alexander Kerfoot and Cale Yarncroc playing defense against the Montreal Canadiens, and they did pretty good.
Well, I'm pretty sure, what, did they get a shutout?
Yeah, they did pretty well. So Montreal, bad hockey team. Uri Slafkovský, first overall pick. Incapable of beating a forward on a 3-on-2 rush.
Did you see the quote by the GM?
What? Of Montreal?
Of Montreal on Slafkovský.
I did not.
Maybe it was fake if you hadn't seen it, but apparently he said his preseason has been very underwhelming.
He has been not impressive, to be honest, from what I've seen, which was only against the Leafs, but didn't look great. Yeah. Sheldon Keefe also said after that game that they've been working on Mitch Marner playing defense in practice.
I heard that.
And people got like, okay.
Dude, the world exploded. I saw so many memes after about how like they were doing Marner in defense, and then somebody posted like due to what is it, injuries or whatever, they said that Matthews will be playing goalie.
By the way, Kerfoot, only position on the Leafs that Kerfoot has not played is goalie now. He has played every single other position. So, you know, I think he's the guy if we need an emergency goalie.
Well, it's not. Yeah. Fuck. can you just call me? I'm up the street. Just give me a call.
I think the Marner thing, like, I think it's a little bit silly because I'll tell you what I think they're going to do. And I do not think it's we're going to have Mitch Marner play defense against like Ottawa or something. Whoa. It's what I think he's talking about is like, say at the end of the game when the other team's winning by one goal.
Yes.
And they're playing like completely defensively. You play Mitch Marner on the point, or when you have the goalie pulled, you play Mitch Marner on the point. Like he kind of already does on the power play.
And obviously, I'm not an idiot.
Yeah.
So when I read that, I go, they're obviously talking about when they're down. They're obviously talking about pulling a goalie. It's a power play-esque situation.
Absolutely. Because
every team in the league is doing four forwards.
Yes. Some people who are less smart than you thought Mitch Marner was actually going to start playing defense.
Yeah. And that's the problem with having a giant fan base.
Yeah, you have a lot of idiots.
You're going to have a lot of idiots. And I'll be honest, I'm one of the biggest ones, but even I could fucking see through that.
It's fairly obvious. I think they didn't ask Keith what he meant, which I thought was weird. Because like you should have just asked him, and then he probably would have said that, and then that would have been the end of the whole thing. Because, like, honestly, there's no way Sheldon Keefe was like, no, we're just going to have them take shifts.
No, yeah, they're not saying, like, it's a 2-2 game.
Marner and Brody.
It's a 2-2 game, and yeah. We put Muzzin and Marner out there, and things should go well. Things should go well.
No, I agree. They said Riley's been practicing taking shifts on the right, which That's makes fine. Sense. If you want to get Sandin in the lineup, that makes perfect sense. Muzzin has a sore back. Apparently, it's not related to his old back injury that he had, like, I think 3 years ago. And he said that he thinks he's probably going to play on the weekend. They have two games on Friday and Saturday. And he said he's probably going to be playing in one of them. So there you go. I think he'll be playing to start the season because, I mean, he thinks he's going to play an exhibition game on Saturday or Friday. So.
Yeah, so because the concern was that he was out for extended.
Yeah, especially when you saw the Leafs not trade anyone. You were like, oh, well, someone's got to be hurt. Maybe it's Muzzin. It's not Muzzin. So there you go.
Yeah.
I just want to say Mark Giordano made like an absolutely insane pass on one of Nick Robertson's goals in the preseason. And oh, I was like, was that, oh, my God.
Yeah. Was that the one to
the stretch pass?
The stretch pass. I saw the funniest tweet or Instagram video where it's like, what an assist by Murray. Because Murray nudges it, and they're like, my God.
By the way, Matt Murray, more points this exhibition season than Juraj Slafkovský.
Get the fuck out of here. Slafkovský has zero?
He has 0 points. Matt Murray, incredible assist.
How many does Shane Wright have?
I don't know, but I'm absolutely going to look that up right now.
Because maybe cause,
see, this is why we do this together. Because like this, even before you finished your sentence, I started googling how many points to Shane right now.
Because it is interesting. Because obviously he was going to go first overall, and this might be the new McKay of Ovechkin.
Yeah, I don't actually know how to look up
preseason points. Yeah.
I just realized it as I started doing it. I was like, do people even track this?
I guess you just type in Seattle Kraken
Yeah, but I'd have to go through all the box scores. But as a bit for next podcast, I will absolutely do that. And have
did you see that insane snipe Matty Barnes scored?
What? No.
Beniers.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I was like, who is that? yeah, I did see that. On he looks very good.
It's very good. So a lot of predictions for the trophies are coming out. They're saying Calder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, look, 19-year-old rookie. He got an extra year of seasoning.
Yeah.
And he looks like a very good player.
He's your paisano. Right.
Yeah, he is indeed. Let's wrap up this defense thing so we can take a break and get to the forwards, because the forwards are the really long part for the Leafs. The defense and the goalie are pretty much done. We're all set.
Yeah, it seems pretty straight, cut and dry. Mm-hmm. I have, maybe I'm wrong here, but I've heard some good things about Max Holloway.
I thought he looked pretty bad.
Oh, he looked bad?
You mean Max Holloway, former UFC featherweight champion of the world, or do you mean Max Hollowell, who plays for the Marlies?
Max Hollowell, I guess. Who's Max Holloway?
Former UFC featherweight champion.
Do I know him?
Probably. Yeah. Is he big? Hawaiian dude. Pretty funny.
Hawaiian dude. Okay, maybe.
You would, if I showed you a picture, you'd be like, oh,
Momoa.
Jason Momoa. That's right. Momoa, I don't think is very good. I have to tell you, I think he's I'm surprised he didn't get cut.
Okay. Maybe I saw the wrong thing. I've been busy cleaning up shit, so
not good to my eye. I will say Victor Mete has won the role of first call up from the Marlies by default because he was competing with Jordy Benn and Carl Dahlstrom.
Yeah, well,
broken themselves.
I think I did look at the box score. He's playing tonight.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There you go. Well, I mean, kind of run out of defense, but yeah. Hey, look, man. If you get the job by merit or by default, you still get the job. So good for him.
It's such a good point.
He got it. So there you go. I'm not sure he's looked amazing. He hasn't looked terrible. It would have been interesting to kind of judge the competition, but his competition died. So there you go.
Clearly. Yeah. His competition's out till April.
Yep. Philip Kroll has been good. William Villeneuve is fascinating because he has the worst skating stride I've ever seen. He looks like he never learned how to skate and has been somehow maneuvering his way around the ice and yet is not slow or bad in spite of not knowing how to skate. It's honestly fascinating. Never seen anything like it.
That's like, he's Finnish, Swedish?
He's French.
Get the fuck out of
Canadian.
Here.
Oh. Yeah. Come on. Not, you know.
I thought you meant real French.
No, that would be fascinating.
I thought it was a Pierre-Edward Belmar type guy.
Pierre-Edward Belmar is, yeah, that's always been kind of incredible.
Like French.
Actual French, yeah.
Who was the French? Christophe Huet.
Christophe Huet.
I yes. love
Who Huet. Played for Montreal as well.
He played for
made
Montreal.
It even funnier.
Which was, he probably went to Montreal, which I'm going at the end of the month.
Very nice. Love Montreal as a city, birthday. Not as a hockey team, of course.
The lady got me a train ticket.
Awesome.
One way. no, I'm kidding. But we're going, and yeah, I mean, like, he must have gotten there and been like, you guys speak weird French.
Yeah, oh right? yeah. He must have been like, I thought moving here would be nice because I wouldn't have to learn a new language, and I still have to learn a new language.
And turns out you guys don't speak the same.
It turns out I actually not still the do. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll do the forwards because the forwards are insane. And we're back to talk about the forwards as the Leafs continue to build their lead over the Montreal Canadiens. It's now 3-0.
Well, they've only
by William Nylander.
They're 3-1.
They are.
In preseason.
Yes. And I barely even count the loss because it was a split squad game.
That's true. And
it didn't really count.
A bunch of my friends went and they were doing very well until they switched goalies.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually exactly what happened. They were up 3-0, switched goalies, and then lost the
That's exactly what they all said. They said clearly that goalie should not be.
Yep, and he's not even going to be on the Marlies. So.
No, I know.
There you go. Keith Petrozelli, I believe.
Yes, I was going to say, yeah. I don't know his name, but I bet you do.
Yeah, he's not good.
No, not a great player. So, but
possibly a good ECHL goalie. I have no idea.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess they, like, but that's the thing. It's with the defense. It's with the forwards. You got to try them all. Why not? Whatever. Like,
what if he's amazing?
And the points don't matter.
Yeah, who cares?
The games don't matter. The wins or losses don't matter. Let them try. Clearly, he fell flat on his face.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's fine. You get to do that. All right. Let's talk about the forwards. Because it's possibly the only interesting part of the lineup right now. It's tough to tell who's going to make the team. So John Tavares is out another 2 weeks with a strained oblique muscle.
It's abs, right?
Yeah.
It's right here.
Yeah. The side. Yeah. Like the side of your abs. Yeah. Which is, I mean, you know, that definitely sucks. That's probably very uncomfortable. But it also makes the lineup a little bit confusing. Pierre Engvall also out with an ankle injury.
Right.
We'll see when he comes back.
Yeah.
So we can start with the first line right away because it's the easiest. It's going to be Bunting, Matthews, and Marner. They were amazing last year. They're all like very clearly best friends and hang out all the time.
They do
go golfing and go to Jays games and whatever. It's very cute. Hopefully we'll be able to afford Michael Bunting after this year. Although
I have my doubts.
Hopefully Matthews can convince him to stay. I have no idea.
Well, it's a classic, like you put it like he's good, but you're also it's the Hyman thing.
Yes.
You're putting this guy on the first line and he's going to rack up the points.
Yep.
And the points is what gets you the money.
Yep.
So,
and he's going to get them.
He's going to get the points. And by the end of the season, he's going to get the money, whether it's from the Leafs Words from Edmonton.
It will be Edmonton.
It will probably be Edmonton.
It will be Edmonton. With Tavares out, the second line is what's kind of interesting. So Kerfoot is still here and currently will center the second line because he's our second best available center, which is kind of an interesting position because we'll talk about later the Leafs have to make a trade. And right now it looks like trading Kerfoot is not really something that they can do.
No, and a lot, like, obviously everybody paints him as the target trade. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, he's the guy because he makes 3.5 or whatever, and it seems to make the most sense because one guy gets you the most cap space.
Yeah.
But in the event of a Tavares injury, and even without Tavares being injured, a third-line center for 3.5?
That's perfectly fine.
It's not a
very reasonable salary.
It's very reasonable. So I think there's other avenues that we should explore.
I think so too. And I have one particular one in mind, but we'll get to all that. Also on that line will be two of the Leafs' best players this preseason so far, which is Kelly Yarncrock, who's been really, honestly, unbelievably good. Can't believe how good that signing has been. He was even good on defense.
I mean, the split squad game against Ottawa, he played at the 7 o'clock game. My friends told me he was the best player out there. Yeah. Two goals and one right off the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. He dominated, and he's been, like, really, honestly great in every game he's played so far. He looks like a hell of a pickup.
And
he's going to be great.
Yeah. And you obviously may have given him a few more years than you would have liked to.
Yeah. I don't know, honestly. We might be happy we have him for 4 years in 4 years.
No, but that's what I mean is, like, a cap hit and what he does.
It's pretty cheap.
It might be pretty great.
It's pretty cheap if he's going to be on the second line. And if he ends up on the third line, like, by the end of the deal, you're still like, okay, that's fine. So, I don't know. He's been fantastic. He looks like he could be, like, a Bunting level good signing.
Pick up, yeah.
The other guy I want to mention was William Nylander, who, again, has two goals tonight and who has been the best player in every game he's played in the exhibition games on either team, including Austin Matthews. He has been unbelievable. He said over the summer he, like, put on a bunch of size and got over 200 pounds or whatever. He actually, like, looks bigger. Like, he physically looks bigger. And he's been, like, just a monster.
Yeah.
This whole time. So I'm kind of excited to see what happens with William Nylander because he looks like he's, like, coming into his peak. He looks like he's gone up another level, which, I mean, you know, the last couple of years have been the best years he's ever played. And he's going to get even better and even bigger and stronger and all that. I mean, good for him.
Yeah. And I mean, like, he's being paid well.
Yep.
And he, obviously, some people say it's an underpayment. And I'm honestly one of those people.
Yeah.
Because what he does and what he brings, I mean, most other teams would be paying him like $9 million.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's a good contract. And it's a great
contract.
Him, I'm pretty excited to see Nylander, Tavares, Yarncrock.
Well, because it's, again, that's why I don't think we can get rid of Kerfoot, because it adds the fact that, because Kerfoot and Yarncrock, I don't know if they're similar, but I don't know.
They are. Kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, the fact that you have an extra one of those and you can push Kerfoot to center in the third line.
Yeah.
And Kampf on the fourth line. Like, it just makes sense.
It's huge. It's so
good. So, yeah. I'd be shocked if they move it.
Yeah, I would too. So, for that Kampf line, let's talk about that one. Because there's going to be, like, it's hard to decide what's going to be the third line and what's going to be the fourth line, because I don't know if the Kampf line, which is going to be like the super defense line, is going to play more than the other line that has a bit of offense or less. And it might actually depend on the game. Like, if we go up 2-0 in the first, you play Kampf more. If we go down 2-0 in the first, you play Kerfoot more. You know what I mean?
It might not. Yes, I agree. But it might also be like a 3A and 3B instead of 3-4.
Exactly. So let's just call it the camp line for now instead of like the third or fourth line or whatever, because that's hard to figure out. I'll tell you right now, a guy who will be on it, on this team and on this line, is Zach Aston-Reese, because they're going to sign him. He's been far too good to not sign. Scored a goal tonight, which is not a thing that he does, but there you go. And I think the Leafs kind of figured out that Zach Aston-Reese is perfect for David Kampf. He's like super defensive, and so they just stuck them both together, and basically when that line's out there, nothing's gonna happen, and that's really valuable. I mean, David Kampf was fantastic last year, and adding a second David Kampf to his line, it's only gonna help.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, like Ube Kubel.
Yes, that was the third guy I was gonna suggest. So I was gonna say there's some options for who plays where. I would also go with Ube Kubel on that line.
Right.
And just, I mean, that line is just going to be terrible to play against.
It's not easy.
They're just going to grind, and they're not going to give up goals, and they're going to win faceoffs, get the puck down the ice and get off.
So, okay. Sorry. So Engvall is obviously the other guy.
We'll get to that with the, we should talk about all the guys who might make the team, but Engvall for me is the guy you trade.
How much does he make?
$2.5 million. So the Leafs are 2.8 under if they trade Engvall and then run a short roster.
So Engvall, under the cap. Yes. Engvall is a guy that, like, obviously you signed him and you felt like there was something there. It's time to move on.
I think if you have the choice between Kerfoot and Engvall, I think you trade Engvall.
100%.
And I feel bad doing it, especially because he's been injured and missed camp. And so then you're just like trading him, you know, without seeing whatever. But the thing is, and like, I don't mean to sound mean here, the thing is, like, what this camp has shown is that we don't need him.
Well, I mean, I remember when we first started talking about like contracts and Mikheyev being gone, and it was early on in the offseason, you said Engvall signed this deal as like I can score more than Mikheyev. Here's the thing is, if he does, he's gone.
Yeah.
Because he's going to go get more money. And if he doesn't, then it's kind of just a waste for us.
I agree. Yeah.
So I think it's time to ship him out. Just, like, not as like we didn't like his game, we didn't like what he did, purely cap reasons.
Yeah,
get him out.
I wish we didn't have to trade him.
I wish it wasn't like this. It is. Sorry.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. So I also think that's the guy, because he could be, if he's on the team, I think he's the third guy on that line. I think it's Kampf, Engvall, Aston-Reese, but I don't think he's on the team. I think they're going to do this.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, Pierre Engvall is going to find himself on a new team where he can try and score more than Ilya Mikheyev. And we'll have our super defense line of too many names, which is Ube Kubel, Kampf, and Aston-Reese.
It's a lot of names. It's
five names on one line.
It's a lot of the hyphenated thing. I mean, is that because they married, or is that French?
I don't know. A few other countries do it, though. It's not very common in North America, but I know that in like England, for example, a lot of families do it.
Oh,
and France, obviously, as you said, but France, they even do it with first names, right?
Okay.
But yeah, it's
like Jean-Luc.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, interesting. Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
okay.
I don't know. It's interesting. But we got them all on one line. Exciting stuff.
Exciting stuff.
All right. So the fourth line's kind of tough to call, because it really depends on how much risk they want to take and how much risk they don't want to take. I think what they'll want to do is try and keep as many guys as possible and then figure it out as the season goes, which means they'll have to try and avoid losing guys to waivers, which means I think to start the season, Nick Robertson is not going to make the team. Even though Nick Robertson is playing absolutely out of his mind, and he's like put on a bunch of size. He's gotten like bigger and stronger. His game has improved a lot. His shot is, well, I mean, it's always been great, but it's looked unbelievable. But I think just because of waivers, he won't make it to start. I think at some point in the year, he'll be on the team, but now I don't think so.
I think you're right. I think that is the way you have to go at him with it.
You have to just tell him, because he's going to be disappointed, right? Because he played so great.
Obviously. And like that's big. And I don't know, sometimes you hear about like stories with sports and you're like, could have just been open and honest.
Yeah.
And it would make them feel better. And I hope they do that, because Dubas seems like a smart guy. He wears glasses. it is one of those things where you're like, he could look really good on Tavares's wing.
He could.
If you put Yarncroke down to the third.
Yeah, he could. Absolutely.
Obviously. But why not see what it looks like without him?
Yeah. Because the thing is, and like, well, I'm not saying which one of these guys is going to make it, but just to list some names here, like you have Malkin, you have Abruzzese, Steves, Holmberg, Gaudet, all these guys, most of them won't clear waivers. So the thing is, like, you can test out one of those guys and then test out Nick Robertson, but you can't do it the other way. And you can't test Nick Robertson and then try out Dennis Mulligan, because Dennis Mulligan won't be here. So you have to do it in that order, unfortunately, for Nick Robertson. And it's not fair, but it's the way it goes.
It's the way it goes, the way the league is set up, and that's okay. I think you just have to be open and honest with your plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of have to be like, look, we're going to try out Mulligan. Because we didn't bring up Mulligan when we were setting the lines a little bit.
No.
Fourth line, maybe, but yeah.
He played his way into being considered.
Yeah, and at that point, you kind of have to be like, look, you like Robertson, you have to go to him and you go, you're obviously going to be on the team eventually.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like maybe he won't and maybe he'll be sent to the market and we'll see where he goes. No, you're going to be on the team.
Probably this year. Even.
Probably this year. Yeah. But let these other guys fall flat on their face.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like a little bit. That's what it is.
It is what it is. That's exactly what it is. Because I think he's played well enough to earn a chance. But I think so have some other guys. And those guys can't go second. That's the problem.
Exactly.
If everybody gets their shot at it, he has to be the last guy to get the shot.
Yeah.
So that's how it is. It sucks. But what are you going to do?
Yep.
Okay, speaking of Dennis Mulligan, he's looked pretty good, and he's looked pretty good specifically with William Nylander, which is kind of interesting, given that that's the spot that's kind of available.
Well, it's because, yeah. They,
the good guy to show up and have chemistry with.
Yeah, like, you know, you slot in on the second line.
Yeah, and see how long you can make it happen. Now, I will say that when Dennis Mulligan was first on the Leafs all that time ago, he actually did play with William Nylander and John Tavares, and it did not go well. So that he already has that kind of against him a little bit, but he, you know, all he can do is show up at training camp and have a massive training camp. And he did. So he all he could do really was make the decision difficult, and that's what he managed. I'm not sure he's going to be on this team long-term, put it that way.
No, it's not one of those things where, I mean, if he has a great season, he might get another year.
Yeah. If he has a great year, sure. Yeah.
I don't see him signing like a 5-year deal after this.
Yeah. I look at him and I'm kind of like, okay, you might get a job to start with all the injuries and with Engvall probably getting traded and whatever. You'll get a job. Originally, eventually, you're either going to lose your job to Nick Robertson or they're going to make a trade and you're going to lose your job to that guy. Or you might lose it to Matthew Nyes. But it's like they're just not going to be like, okay, let's have Dennis Mulligan as our second line left wing for the whole year. They won't do it unless he's like incredible. And I don't think he's capable of that.
It doesn't make any sense.
He would have to go like full Michael Bunting to pull that off. And I don't see that as possible.
Not, no. And like on the first line.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But if he can give us like a couple good months, that would be cool, I guess. He can get us to like New Year's.
That's the thing is the problem with the way, not the problem, because everybody likes to shit on the Leafs and they're like, the problem with everybody being paid high is you kind of got to pay these guys low.
Yeah.
But the benefit of that is you get these guys that come in and they might do well for a while and then you go, okay, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. You can roll. Yeah.
You can roll. You can bring these guys in. Like, that's the trick. That's the whole Dubas thing is everybody's like, oh, you know, he signed some of these shitty, like Nick Ritchie. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, but you got rid of him. Bunting worked out. Labushkin. Yeah. Like, roll the dice on a couple of these guys for a mil, a little over a mil, whatever it is. And if it doesn't work out, you ship them out. You move them.
We've tried a few of them. Remember, even the year before, we tried Jimmy Vesey, and he sucked.
Jimmy Vesey, yes!
And he sucked. And then we got Alex Galchenyuk, and he was good for a couple months. And then we got rid of Alex Galchenyuk.
And then you get rid of him. It's not,
that's all
it's,
it is.
And I know everybody's like, oh, you know, you get attached to players. You don't get attached to players.
No. You get attached to the important players. You get attached to Austin Matthews.
Yes.
You get attached to John Tavares. You don't get attached to Dennis Mulgren.
Dude, one of my favorite players was Ed Belfour.
Yeah.
And when they got rid of him, you're just like, I'm still a Leafs fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I had a poster of the fucking guy in my bedroom. I'm still a Leafs fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, like, obviously these little itty bitty things where you're adjusting and you try a guy out for, like you're saying, till New Year's.
Yeah.
It's allowed. You're allowed to do that.
100%. It's a great way to think about it. Let's see who else we have. We already talked about this, but I just think he's getting traded. I think if he's on the team, he's on the line with Kampf and Aston Reese. But
I think it's the move.
I don't think he's on the team.
I think it's the move. Just move him.
I think so too. I think Abruzzese and Steves are both going to be Marlies, but both of them look pretty good in the training camp.
Yeah.
And both of them will probably play Leaf games at some point over the year, probably on the fourth line. They'll get called up, get a few games, whatever. Joey Anderson, I think, is now doesn't clear waivers.
No.
And so I think he might be gone on waivers to someone. Because I don't see him making the team. I think those two guys are better than him, to be honest. And so it's just like you just won't make it. That we can call them up and send them down without having to worry about losing them. We have to worry about losing you, and they're better than you. So like,
I think you're going to get a lot of that. I think you're going to get a lot of like waiver claims.
Yeah. I think he's going to be one of them. I think he's going to get some games with the Leafs at some point, and then they're going to put him on waivers and someone will take him. And people will be angry. And then in 2 months, they'll be like, who was Adam Brooks again?
Exactly. Yeah, that's such a good point. Who gets bounced back from Winnipeg to Vegas, back to Winnipeg? Yeah.
Wayne Simmons. I think Wayne Simmons is going to make the team. I know people are going to be mad about it, but I'm just going to say it right now. I think he's going to make it. I don't think that of the other guys have
truck?
Been...
Didn't he truck a guy in one of the games? I saw.
He did, and he beat up some guy on Ottawa, and he looks exactly the same as he always does. And I haven't seen any of these other guys look like they're going to give the spot to Wayne Simmons. Unless someone is way better than Wayne Simmons. And I haven't seen anybody be way better than Wayne Simmons. So he gets the spot.
Yeah.
I see no problem with him. Everybody likes him on the team, in the city. I mean, will he be there in the playoffs? I don't know. Can I actually say probably not?
I mean, I could see him being in like a really like tough series if like it gets...
Maybe a Should game be. Or two.
Yeah.
But, like, is he going to be a fourth-line regular in the playoffs? I don't know. Is he going to be on the team and probably stay on the team for the whole year? I think he probably is. Might be the end of it, but I think he's probably on the team.
Oh, I mean, this is his last year.
It has to be, right? But I think they'll give it to him until somebody proves that they're so good that they have to be on the team instead of him.
Yeah.
And I don't see that. Holmberg has looked like a guy who could play on the fourth line if we want him to, which is interesting. Not sure if he will, but there you go.
I don't know much about him.
Yeah. He's like a Swedish, I think he's been playing the wing a lot, but he can play center. He can take faceoffs. I think he's playing center tonight in the game we're not watching. And he seems like he's pretty good. He's a pretty big guy. He's like physical, grindery, wins faceoffs. I think he could be a decent fourth liner. I'm not sure if he'll put him right in the lineup right away, but
no.
I think he'll probably get a shot too and probably look fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adam Gaudette, they were like really talking up a lot.
Like, but he got hurt, right? But I saw he's on the box score, so he's playing tonight.
Yeah. So the Leafs guys were talking. I like the Leafs coaches and everybody were talking up him a lot as like he might be a guy who makes a big impression. Like when they were asked, like, oh, who's better than you thought? They a lot of them said Adam Gaudette. And then he got hurt and didn't play. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. It seems like they like him. But he hasn't played, so I have no idea what he looks like. Kyle Clifford looked like Kyle Clifford, so there you go. Jeez.
Here's the thing: is they're giving him shots, so like clearly they want to see if it works.
Yeah, I have a feeling Kyle Clifford's going to get sent down. He's going to clear waivers, and then at some point they're going to call him up, and he's going to play games, and everybody will be mad, and he'll be fine. Yeah. Just don't play him in the playoffs.
No, that's the big thing is you're like, come on, man.
Just don't put him in the playoffs. I'm glad, like, I know we still won that game, but, like, Jesus Christ.
Dude, yeah, he got, like, not suspended, but he got
the 5-minute major in game one.
I know he got the 5-minute, but he didn't get suspended.
He did. He got suspended for game two. He got suspended one game. And then there was no point in putting him back in. And I just want to mention this. I think Curtis Douglas might be kind of good at hockey.
Really?
Yeah. I know he's like the big tree and like he beats people up and stuff, but like every time I've watched him, I'm like, this guy kind of doesn't suck. I gotta be honest.
This is full circle. This is who you brought up at the beginning of the episode. Like,
yes,
he's not bad.
He's not bad. I got to tell you, I'm as shocked as anybody because really? I just assumed he was even bigger Frédéric Gauthier, except he was fun because he beat people up. But he actually, like, he has some hands. He's not bad.
Okay. I mean,
he's actually not bad.
There's nothing more exciting to me than a big man with hands.
Yeah. I have no idea if he's going to be, like, he won't make the Leafs this year. I have no idea if he will ever make the Leafs at any point in his entire life. But I will just say, I thought he sucked, and I think a lot of people just assume that he sucks, and he doesn't. He's not bad, and he's kind of young, and there's a chance that at some point we might see him on the Toronto Maple Leafs. I just want to ready everybody for that, because, like, I really do actually believe it.
I farted.
We'll see what happens. I also, like, if you're calling up guys to beat people up, you know how, like, sometimes you have a game where you know there's going to be a ton of fights and you call guys to beat people up? Can we call him up instead of Clifford? Because, like, no offense to Kyle Clifford, but, like, I think people would be more scared of Curtis Douglas.
Well, it's more, yeah, because I think Clifford has the reputation.
Yes.
But I think Douglas has the physical.
Yeah. You don't need a reputation if you're 6'9".
Exactly. It's like the story I told you about the guy in the subway. If I stood up, he wouldn't have fought me because
that's
I'm
right.
Giant.
People don't know that you're incredibly beat upable because you're a very, very tall man.
I'm very tall. If you punch me in the face, I will buckle like a paper house.
You're very fragile, but that's not obvious.
But nobody is willing to swing on me because I'm 6'5".
It's 100% true.
When I wear my Tims, I'm 6'6". It's insane.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet Curtis Douglas.
So, yeah, I think we talked about this. This just as the last thing. I mean, I have some other stuff if you want to do another segment where we talk about random stuff, but it's pretty short. But just to wrap up the Leafs things, they're 2.8 over the cap. With injuries, they're fine. People won't be injured forever. Eventually, someone will have to get traded. I think the idea is like they're thinking, okay, well, if people are injured, we'll just cruise as long as we can until everyone's healthy and we have to make a trade.
Yeah.
They will have to make a trade. They basically have to trade one of Yarncroc, which they're obviously not going to do because they just signed him to a 4-year contract.
No.
Kerfoot or Engvall. Justin Hall actually doesn't make enough money to do it.
What is it, 1.8?
He makes 2. So yeah, it's not enough. Because
nah.
It has to be it has to be enough that their salary plus a minimum salary gets you to 2.8, and Justin Hall doesn't do that. So it has to be Kerfoot or Engvall. We both think Engvall is the smart move.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was trying to call my dog over.
Sad but true.
Sad but true. No, and yeah, like again, there are other options other than Kerfoot. Like it just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. No. All right. So we'll do like one more 10-second segment after this, and that'll be that.
Dude, give me a 10-second segment.
And we're back.
Oh.
And okay, real quick. Not a lot of news, but let's do it fast. Jason Robertson still not signed.
So what's good? So are they, because they don't have any money.
They have $7 million. And I'm assuming he wants like 10.
But, man, I'm sorry. 7 mil should be enough.
I don't know. Maybe for like 1 year or 2 years or something. No, one of those Rantanen deals or whatever. Right.
If you're Robertson and they come to you and they go, look, we'll give you 7 mil for 2 years.
Yeah. And then do like that thing where the second year you get the really high qualifying offer.
Yeah. Yeah, and then like we'll make, because obviously by then they'll be able to move some stuff around. Mm. Radulov will be off. Like, come
on. Yeah, it just makes sense to do a bridge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. So I kind of assume that they'll get it.
I don't know what he's holding up on.
Maybe they haven't offered that. Maybe they just want term. And he's like, well, if it's term, then 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because I'm assuming, like, if they offered, it just makes so much sense for both of them that if they offered, like, a 7 million times 2 or 3 bridge, that it just makes perfect sense that he would take that.
Give me a,
I don't know. Trevor Zegras got absolutely crushed in his insurance to start the season. So the NHL cover athlete curse thing starting early, I guess.
Got
absolutely destroyed.
But he's day-to-day, they say.
That's good. So maybe back to start the season.
But it did look bad. It did look really bad.
It looked terrible when it happened.
And it's funny. I saw the I was listening to 31 Thoughts or 32 Thoughts.
That's right.
Yeah, I always forget that. Stupid. So stupid. And I get it. This is dumb for me to
remember back nitpick. When it was 30 Thoughts.
Well, but this is dumb for me to nitpick. But every time they get a new team, it's like becomes more Thoughts. And you're like, well, now I'm confused.
Yeah, you usually only add like 26 to begin with.
Exactly. Where? What? Like, I have one thought, and it's boob. So, how do we get to 32? But it's,
well, that's technically two thoughts.
It's one on. It's one thought, if you know what I mean. That hoe over there. But no, it's. I heard on 32 Thoughts, and he said that. It was Merrick. I think he was like, wow, like, when have you ever been excited about a Coyotes versus Anaheim game? Because apparently they don't play till January.
Oh, well, but like, I'm not excited about it.
No, but because the beef.
Yeah.
Because the hit.
Well, I mean, they this just adds on to the beef they already had, I guess.
After what was the beef for free?
Troy Terry got his ass beat.
Oh.
Remember?
Right, with Beagle.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So they already had beef. I still wasn't excited to watch them play. I'm still not excited to watch them play.
Jeff Merrick, you idiot.
It's really reaching there. Poor Trevor Zegras. On the plus side, I find getting crushed in preseason less embarrassing than what happened to the NBA 2K cover star, who his team, the Phoenix Suns, it's Devin Booker. They went to Australia to play an exhibition game and lost. The Phoenix Suns lost to an Australian team. It is the first time in 7 years an NBA team has lost to a team from another country.
Did they have all the stars, though?
They did, yes.
They're like Chris Paul and
DeAndre Ayton, and yeah, they lost.
Wow.
Yeah. So there you go. That is more embarrassing.
Although he's dating Kendall Jenner.
Oh yeah, yeah, and he has cool cars. So there you go.
He has cool cars.
Yeah, he drives like he shows up in like crazy like throwback old cars to playoff games and stuff. It's kind of cool. They did also get waxed in Game 7 in one of the most embarrassing losses in the history of any sport, though. So
was it who was that?
Dallas.
Dallas Mavericks.
Luka. Yeah.
Luka.
They lost. They were down by like 60 in the at one point.
Where's he from? Where's Doncic?
Slovenia.
See, I'll be honest. It's fun to see a European come in and be like,
yeah. And there was Dirk, I guess, but he was German. It's hard to root for Germans.
Oh, God. You kidding me?
Especially for you.
My grandfather's rolling over in his grave right now.
Slovenian's a little more tasteful.
Yeah, a little bit.
Taylor Hall's out week to week. I saw an article this week about how they think that Columbus is going to be the team to trade for Jacob Chychrun. Which I was like, why though?
Well, I saw a report from Friedman that Ottawa.
I saw that too. And that one makes sense, actually.
Shane Pinto.
He has a lot of connections to that area and that organization.
Yeah.
So that actually would make sense to me.
They want Shane Pinto, but apparently Ottawa's not really willing to budge.
Well, I think that's a trade that would make a lot of sense because their defense sucks and Chychrun's good. And also Chychrun would probably be down to go to Ottawa. I thought the craziest part about the Columbus one is I was like, he has a no trade. Like, is he really going to go from Arizona to Columbus when he has a no trade? Wouldn't he just be like, no?
No, no.
If Arizona was like, hey, we got a trade for you. It's Columbus. I'd be like, how about try again?
How about no, you crazy Dutch bastard. You've heard Tight Pants. I recently watched that movie.
Great movie. All-time great. All-time comedy classic. And then the last hockey thing I had was that the Kraken tried to make the new gritty, and it's disgusting.
Oh, my God.
Haunt my nightmares forever.
I'm telling you, it looks like a troll doll. It's so creepy.
It's going to terrify children.
I don't get it.
It's disgusting.
You know what? I saw a meme. And they were like, it was before they revealed the actual mascot. And they said, Seattle's going to reveal their new mascot on the preseason game tonight.
Okay.
And they photoshopped not Lord of the Rings, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, dude, that's what I thought they were going to do. Like a squid head.
The squid head.
With a jersey.
With a jersey!
It's so easy. How did you not do that?
And they didn't fucking do it.
It's so easy. And what the fuck?
Dude, it doesn't make any sense. It's not related to the Kraken.
No.
It's not really Seattle. I mean, if that is a woman if that's a woman that works at Starbucks, maybe.
I'm never going to Seattle if they have those things walking.
No. What are you, nuts?
They have wild whatever the fuck that is walking around.
The fuck
around.
Is that walk around there?
Oh, my God.
Bigfoot. Bigfoot would have made
Bigfoot would have been so good. Bigfoot would have been so good. Trying to think of other Seattle things. But, like, honestly.
What are they? They got sturgeon out there. Yeah. Like, big fish.
Rains a lot.
It rains a lot.
Grunge music. You could have made Kurt Cobain.
Oh, Kurt Cobain. That would be funny.
Slightly depressing, but still somehow less terrifying than the thing they actually came up with.
Starbucks.
I don't think, like, you couldn't bring your kids to the game.
Just make a Starbucks lady.
Honestly. Yeah, get some sponsorship dollars out of it.
I love, speaking of Austin Powers, but I love how in the, it's the second movie.
Oh my God, yes, their headquarters.
And their headquarters is in the Space Needle, and it's a Starbucks.
That's amazing. I totally forgot about that bit. That's so good. Amazing movies.
It's very funny.
Oh my God. Yeah. See, that wouldn't terrify children either.
But that's like this thing. I swear to God, I'm having nightmares.
You wouldn't be able to bring your kids to the game. It's so bad.
Well, I like what you said about Gritty.
They tried to do Gritty. They did. Yeah. They were like, let's make something weird because everyone liked Gritty. And they did a bad job.
It definitely did not work.
They did a bad job. And like, honestly, like, it's very easy to make a mascot because like our mascot doesn't even make sense. Carlton is what, a polar bear? We don't have polar bears in Toronto. What does a bear have to do with the maple leaves? It makes no sense. And yet it works because he's a big fluffy bear and kids love him because that's the point of a mascot.
Yeah, it's a good point. Like, there's not, like, a lot of the mascots are weird.
It's for kids.
Did you see that report about the NBA?
About what? The mascots?
Yeah.
I did not. No.
About how the Denver, I think it's like the Denver Nuggets, like the mascots make like three times more than the highest paid WNBA player.
That's actually not surprising. Sad,
like,
but
like the Denver Nuggets, I think they use the Denver Nuggets mascot. He makes like $625,000 a year.
Wow.
I know. I saw that too. I was like, sign me up.
Ah, dude, I'd even wear that weird Seattle troll doll head for $600,000.
That's what I'm saying. It's not that hard. But apparently, like, yeah, right. Like that's more, like that's a lot more than like the WNBA players make.
Yeah.
Which was, wow. I did not know that. I'm surprised you didn't see that report. Big news on Twitter.
They tried to do Gritty and it didn't work. And also, like, Gritty, first of all, he's not disgusting. He just looks weird. He doesn't look gross.
No. Have you been to Cirque du Soleil?
I have been to Cirque du Soleil.
You have? Okay. Does that thing not look like something from Cirque du Soleil?
Yes. That's a really good one, actually. That's exactly what it looks like. Also, like, Gritty is funny, and I don't know what this thing's vibe is going to be, but it looks like horror movie vibes.
Well, the nice and
remember when Gritty punched that kid in the face? That was hilarious. Like, yeah, he can even, like, get away with punching children.
He did like an outdoor game where like he was being chased by the FBI.
Yeah.
It's fun because Grit, and it might have everything to do with color, but orange is a fun color.
I think that's a good point.
Like. A fully orange thing is exciting and it's bright, but Seattle's like dark green. Like,
also, like, what's up with its skin? It looks like it's already drowned, and then they dug it out of the ocean and like woke it back up again.
But that's what I mean is like the colors don't.
No, it looks bad.
They're not inducive to a good mascot.
It's a bad look. It's a bad look. Yeah, shame on them.
Shame on them.
All right, I think that's it for this week. So you want to sing us out, buddy?
I will sing you out. It's Up to the Miners podcast. Seattle's gross.